Luke chapter 12, let's just start reading at verse 52 in chapter 11. So we'll be starting chapter 11, verse 52, and then leading into chapter 12. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which, after he have killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading there from his word. On Sunday evenings, we're continuing to look at the title Jesus most used of himself, which he used on many occasions in the account that Luke gives us of the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Son of Man. It was a title, just to remind you, that spoke of the fact he was truly God and he was truly man. He was indeed God manifest in the flesh. And Jesus uses this title twice in the reading that we had. A vast crowd were gathered, probably wanted to hear what he had to say or to see another miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus speaks, first of all, to those who in fact are his disciples. In the previous verses, he's rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes for their hypocrisy. He says, woe to you, and he exposes their hypocrisy, in that these men put on an outward show of godliness that impressed the people, but it wasn't genuine. It wasn't real. There was no spiritual change in the hearts of these men. There was no personal knowledge of God. They were not men who were right with God. They were not men who were forgiven their sins against God. On top of that, the scribes, the teachers, had been adding to God's word, saying things that God hadn't said in his word. And what's more, they hadn't been keeping the word of God that God had actually said. And we see that by their teaching, they were preventing, hindering others from coming to Jesus, the only way of salvation. And as Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of these Pharisees and scribes, we see at the end of chapter 11, they wanted trip him up. They want to catch him out. They want to get even with him. They want to get back at him. Jesus' disciples, the followers of Christ, could well somewhat have been a bit fearful about what was going to happen if the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, were so hostile toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure they realized that hostility would soon come their way as followers of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus seeks to encourage them. Jesus seeks to help them, no matter the opposition that may come their way, for trusting and following him. So he tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Just as leaven affects a whole lump of dough, hypocrisy really affects the person that's playing the hypocrite. What is hypocrisy? It's trying to conceal, play act, and show yourself to be something different to what you are. On the one hand, concealing what you really are, and on the other hand, pretending to be something that you're not. And it's quite significant, Jesus says, as disciples, because as professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not very careful, we can be awfully guilty of spiritual hypocrisy, trying to cover up and hide what we really are like as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pretend, play act, at being something that is not really true of us, the most godly and spiritual and holy of people. Jesus makes clear, acting, behaving like this, playing the hypocrite, is so foolish, because you can take in people, you can deceive people. It's very possible for anyone to play act at being a type of person that they're not really, and other people to be taken in by it. But it's impossible to deceive the most important person of all, and that's God himself. We cannot deceive Almighty God. And Jesus makes clear in verse 2 that hypocrisy is so foolish because on the day of judgment, ultimately, everything will be revealed. So if anyone plays the hypocrite, pretending to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who is following him, and they're not doing so, they'll be found out then. They'll be told, depart from me, I never knew you. And the professing genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who plays the hypocrite puts on an outward show, an outward display, trying to show themselves to be somebody that loves Christ and is more holy than they really are, will be found out. It will be quite obvious the kind of person that we really were spiritually. So hypocrisy is foolish. Play acting of being a believer when you're not. Play acting of being someone who is ever so holy and loves the Lord Jesus Christ ever so much when it's not actually the case. God is an all-knowing, seeing God. He wouldn't have to wait to the day of judgment to discover your hypocrisy. He knows it right now, this moment. The thing is, on the day of judgment, of course, so will everyone else. It would be very, very clear before all that we were not what we pretended to be, that we were play-acting, concealing what we're really like, and putting on an act to make ourselves appear something that we're not. The idea of verse 3 is that the real truth concerning the people that we are will come to light at the final judgment of God. So you see, for somebody to profess faith in the Lord Jesus when they don't possess faith is totally pointless. Or putting on some outward show of being such a holy, godly Christian when we're not really, is pointless. So after encouraging the disciples to be the people they really are, and not to be like the Pharisees and the scribes who are hypocrites, because God isn't deceived. Play acting doesn't deceive Almighty God. He knows exactly where each person is spiritually. He knows exactly how much we love and don't love Christ. He knows exactly how holy we are or not. He knows exactly how much we pray and don't pray. He knows exactly how much we read his word, how much we believe what we read, how much we obey what we read. God knows everything about us. We're an open book as far as Almighty God is concerned. And we're so foolish if we play act. We're guilty of hypocrisy, trying to appear to other Christians that we're better than we really are. What is the point of that? What is the value of that? They may think better of us than they ought to do, but at the end of the day, all will be found out. All will be revealed. But then Jesus, after speaking to them about this, encourages the disciples not to fall into one of the most powerful weapons and traps of the devil. And what is that? The fear of man that brings a snare. The devil knows only too well the enormous influence what people will say to us, think about us, or do to us has upon us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So often, the devil uses the fear of man to cause a Christian to be silent and not own and confess his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not make clear to people that they trust in, that they love, and they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For fear of what people may say or do or think if you do so. Also, the devil uses the fear of man to cause believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to compromise, to not do what Christ would have them to do, but do what people want you to do. It's so easy to be fearful, even of family, the people you love and love you. What will they think? What will they say if you say as a Christian and they're not Christians, or even they are, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to do that? How will they respond if you say, it's a Sunday, it's a Lord's Day, I can't do that, I won't be free, I'll be worshipping God? How will fellow students and work colleagues react if you say to them, I can't do that, I can't go there, because I'm a Christian, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't want me to do that. He wouldn't want me to go there. So often, the devil will use fear to cause us to rather do what they would want us to do and go contrary to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ and displease him. The devil knows it's the fear of man he can use to tempt Christians to be silent when they shouldn't, and to tempt Christians to compromise when they shouldn't. And Jesus says here, we shouldn't fear man and be silent or compromise because of what they may think, what they may say, how annoyed they may be, how they may react to us. If they do even their worst, says Jesus, the worst you could imagine them doing for owning and confessing Christ, or for not compromising and following Christ's word, that is, to kill you, to end one's life, they can't do any more than that. Well, we might say, well, isn't that a bit enough? You know, if their worst is going to kill me, I'm not too keen on their worst. Well, there have been many believers who confessed Christ, who didn't compromise, and lost their lives as a result. What happened to them? They went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ immediately, which is far, far better. And their life only ended because God saw that was the time he'd appointed for their life to end. When his purpose for us here is over and done as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not a moment before, will he take us to be with himself. You see, the person, the one we should fear, is God. Not in the wrong way, but we should recognize it is God who will determine when we die. And it is God who will determine what happens to our souls after we die. And rather than being fearful of what people may do or say, we should be more fearful of displeasing God and remaining silent and not confessing Christ when we should, of compromising and doing what other people wanted us to do, which is contrary to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should know that if we own and confess Christ and we stand for his truth and don't compromise, we have a God who cares for us. You see, Jesus reminds them here, God even knows and cares for sparrows. What a thing when you think about it. He knows and cares for sparrows. So do we really imagine, as God's children, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he never knows the things we're facing in life and he doesn't care for us? Why God even knows, and even if the answer is none, how many hairs are on your head? He knows to that detail. Do we imagine he doesn't know about the trials and the problems and the difficulties we may go through as we seek to confess Christ before others, as we seek to faithfully follow Christ and not compromise his word? So we only die when God sees fit that we do. And God alone is the one who can do to people something after they die. Only God. And he has the power to cast every single unforgiven sinner into hell itself, which is so unnecessary because he sent his only beloved son into the world to save sinners. And we can all be forgiven our sins against God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the worst the unbelieving world can ever do to you, if you own and confess Jesus your Savior, and if you follow him and don't compromise, is, Jesus says, is to take your life. But that will only be at a time allowed and, you know, permitted by Almighty God. Rather than fearing what people think and what people may say, if you tell others that you're a Christian and you tell them like Paul did, we saw this morning, through God's word and by personal testimony that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, that he's your Savior, the worst they can do is to take our lives. That seems pretty bad, but that's the worst they can do. And the worst the ungodly world can do to us if we refuse to compromise and go contrary to Christ's word is to take our lives. Very rarely do people do the worst and kill people's body for confessing Christ and for remaining faithful to his word. But there have been many believers down through the centuries that that has happened to. Usually the worst that is done to Christians is to be cut off, spoken wrongly about, be somewhat isolated, be annoyed with a Christian, be bad-tempered with a Christian, maybe fall out with a Christian, maybe as a result of government, be imprisoned as a Christian, as a result of confessing Jesus as our Savior, as a result of refusing to compromise and rather do what God's word wants us to do. We shouldn't fear man. Somebody said, the best way to fear God more is to fear man less. The best way to fear God more is to fear man less. If we're not going to be silent, and we are going to confess Christ as our Savior, if we're not going to compromise, but we are going to faithfully follow God's word, rather than just dwelling upon How will my family, how will my work colleagues, how will those fellow students, how will those people in general react when I own and confess Christ is my Savior? How will they react when I say, I can't go there, I can't do that, so on and so forth, because it's contrary to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ? Instead of fearing what they may think, say, or do, as Christians, really, we should be more concerned about what God thinks. What does God think when a sinner, saved by his grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, at an incredible cost, the death of his only beloved son, suffering the wrath of God their sins deserve in their place? What does God think when you don't confess Christ as your Lord and Savior because you fear of what somebody may say and think at college or at work or in the family? What does God think when we, as professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are asked to do something, go somewhere, by family, by work colleagues, by people we know, and we know it's contrary to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ for one reason or another, and we fear how they're going to react? They may fall out with us. They may be annoyed with us. They may think that we've been unkind in some way. Really, we should think more about, what does God think? What does God think? When he is one of his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, unwilling to behave and live like Christ wants because we're afraid of the way people will react if we live and behave as Christ wants. Also, Jesus goes on and says we need to realize the consequence, what it may mean by us remaining silent and not confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. What it may mean by compromising and not doing his will to please other people. Jesus says, he, the Son of Man, God the Son in human flesh, in the final judgment, he will own and confess all those who have owned and confessed him as their Lord and Savior, all those who followed him in obedience to his word. He, the Son of Man, will confess as his before the very angels of God. But those who refuse to confess Christ before others out of the fear of man, those who have compromised and gone contrary to the will of Christ to please other people, not only does Jesus, Son of Man, say he will not confess, but he will deny before the angels of God. Now, Jesus is speaking here of the constant, continual behavior of people, in contrast to the occasional wrong behavior of people. You see, a false professor of faith can confess Christ. Judas did. And a true believer in Christ, out of the fear of man, can deny him, which Peter did. And a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can sadly on occasion go and compromise to please other people, to keep other people happy at work or in the family or anywhere else. And when the genuine believer in Christ does that, as I touched upon the other week, just like Peter, we should repent and weep bitterly when we don't speak of Christ when we could have done. When we know we have not done what Christ wants us to do because we wanted rather to keep happy people around us. So we've compromised, we've displeased Christ to displease them and do what they want to do. We should be full of repentance for that. We should weep bitterly over that sin, that we've behaved in that particular way. when we think that God, by his grace in Christ at such a cost, has saved our sinful soul. And here we are, almost ashamed of Jesus, unwilling to own and confess him as our Savior, because we're fearful of how people react to what they say and do. Or here we are, compromising. We don't have to compromise in a massive way sometimes, you know. It can be in a very small way, but you still know you're going contrary to the will of Christ just to keep happy a certain group of people in the family or in the college or at work. We're a trophy of grace, but we're hardly behaving like that at those times. And it should grieve us. And we should weep bitterly. And we should ask forgiveness of our sins. And we should be encouraged as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we should be encouraged that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, goes on cleansing us of all our sins. All our sins, even as God's children, are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus here speaks about an unforgivable sin. He says, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, elsewhere, Jesus makes clear on a particular occasion an example of this. And if you just limit it to that, you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit today. Because that particular occasion was this. People were saying the miracles that Jesus performed by the Holy Spirit, he enjoyed the fullness of the Holy Spirit, were the works of the devil. That was a blasphemous attack on the Holy Spirit. It was saying that the miracles Christ did by the Holy Spirit were actually done by the devil. And just in that context, and you just think about that context, it's impossible for anyone to blaspheme the Holy Spirit today because God's Son isn't here in human flesh performing miracles that people can go and say are the works of the devil. But a good case can be made for the context here when Jesus speaks of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is unforgivable, because he's speaking about those that don't confess him. And it could well be applied, and has been applied by theologians down through the centuries, that when someone, no matter the work of the Holy Spirit within them, shows them the truth that Jesus is the Son of Man, God the Son in human flesh, the only Savior of sinners, who they need as a sinner to trust in, and they resist, and they harden their hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. And they don't repent and believe on Christ and confess him as their Lord and Savior. And are guilty still of the sin of unbelief. You see, if you're guilty of the sin of unbelief, you can't be forgiven that sin. That's logical, isn't it? You see, it's faith in Christ that results in forgiveness of sin. If you are guilty of the sin of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness for that sin. And even tragically, there's no forgiveness for any sin. If we're guilty of the sin of unbelief in Christ, that can't be forgiven, and neither can any other sin be forgiven, because sin is only forgiven on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those in the grace of God, by the working of the Holy Spirit within them, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. While not perfectly sometimes, as we see in the example of Peter, are to own and confess in general in their lives that Christ is their Lord and Savior. That Christ loved them and gave himself for them, and they in turn love him in sincerity and in truth. and they should, although we fail at times, in general, be those who will not compromise the will of the Lord Jesus Christ to do the will of other people, because we're fearful of what they may say or do or think if we don't do what they want, rather than doing what Christ wants. And for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you may turn around and say, well, I don't know how to confess the Lord Jesus Christ before others, well, Jesus tells you here in verses 11 and 12, that isn't a problem, because the Holy Spirit will help and enable you to confess Christ before others. I get awful worried about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who think they're very good at witnessing to Christ, confessing Christ before others. I'm more at ease with the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that feels even their best efforts don't seem to be worthy of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our hour of need as believers in Christ, if we have the opportunity to confess him before others as our Lord and Savior, God will enable us to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a bad idea as a Christian to think in your mind and to have some idea if the opportunity arose for you to tell somebody else about Christ your Savior, how you may do that. But even more important, when the opportunity does come up, just, as it were, shoot up a quick prayer to God. Lord, help me by your Holy Spirit, as you promised. Help me to say what you want me to say, and not to say anything you don't want me to say. Help me to speak in a way that's right before others. If you believe, you need to realize God, by the Holy Spirit, is going to help you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Give testimony to him before others. And equally, God, by the Holy Spirit, will help you as a believer if you want to be faithful to Christ and do what he wants, even though it's contrary to what people around you may want. They want the complete opposite. Just ask God by his Holy Spirit that you may remain loyal to Christ. You do what Christ wants and you leave the outcome with God. Don't be looking ahead and thinking, well, they'll be annoyed with me, they'll fall out with me, they'll do this, they'll say that and do the other. You do what Christ wants with the help of the Holy Spirit and leave the outcome and the consequences of that with Almighty God. So let's none of us, as we look at the words of Jesus in this passage, be guilty of hypocrisy, play acting, pretending to be something we're not, and trying to conceal what we really are. Let's just be the Christians that we are right now. Because we all know, no matter where we are, we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to all be more holy than we are. We all need to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we do. But let's not put on a show and pretend to be something spiritually that we're not. Let's ask God's help that he deliver us from the fear of man, which brings a snare. Being fearful of what somebody may say or think or do if I speak to them in my family or at work or at college about Christ being my Lord and Savior. Let's ask God to help us to make sure we don't, out of the fear of man, go and do something contrary to God's word because they want it, and be unwilling rather to do what God's word says and please Almighty God. Let's be more concerned, not about what people may think or say or do. Let's always ask ourselves the question, what does God think? What would God make of me not only confessing Christ right now when I've got the opportunity? What would God think of me compromising now to avoid a bit of problem or difficulty with family or friends or work colleagues or fellow students? Let's ask God's help then by the Holy Spirit to be willing to confess Christ and to not compromise no matter what people may say, do or think. And if God is working in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and we're being convicted of our sinfulness and caused to see that Jesus is the only Savior of sinners, let's not harden our hearts to the workings of the Spirit within, but rather let's call upon God to be merciful to us and save us a sinner. Because if we remain guilty of the sin of unbelief, there's no forgiveness for that sin, and there's no forgiveness for all our other sins, and there's nothing worse, and we looked at an example of it this morning, at a man who hears the gospel, hears the faithful preaching of God's word, hears a faithful testimony of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how a persecutor came to faith in Christ, and yet, at the end of the day, was affected, but hardened his heart to what the Spirit was saying to him about the truth of what he heard, and remained without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.